network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today on the WGXC Morning Show, we are going to hear previews of what's some of the things going on during Upstate Art Weekend that is this weekend at many art venues throughout the area. We are going to hear from Sam Sebrin, an organizer of an exhibit of paintings by Will Clark that's opening at the Hudson House Gallery on Warren Street. And we're also going to hear from Brooke Singer, organizing the Soil Festival at the White Feather Farm in Saugerties this weekend. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. It all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Channel connection and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
Hi, I'm Jalal. From the Victory Bus Project, you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Acre.
Wave Farms Public Art Park begins opening Saturdays on June 3rd for drop-in visits anytime between noon and 6 p.m. The art park is on Wave Farms' 29-acre campus in Acre, featuring 13 installations. The study center, including a research library, the WGXC 90.7 FM Acre broadcast studio, and accommodations for Wave Farms International Artist Residency Program. Visitors to Wave Farms Art Park receive a guided tour of the campus. Admission is free, and tours typically last between 60 and 90 minutes. The art park is available to see on other days through October through reservations at wavefarm.org.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of J. Johannes Freibel Parker of Ravenna, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Tuesday, July 18th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Patrick Tyne reports for the Times Union that New York environmental and health officials say the smoke from Canadian wildfires that returned to the Hudson Valley Monday will begin to slowly dissipate on July 18th, but air quality will remain unhealthy for sensitive groups locally. The Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center says currently there are 580 fires burning out of control and another 203 are under control. So far this year, winds have shifted three times to blow the smoke into the Hudson Valley. While the earlier smoke came from many fires burning across Ontario and Quebec, this round is coming from Western Canada. While it has been wet here lately, Nick Basil, Director of Research and Development at the University at Albany's Center of Excellence, which works with NYS Mesonet, says it is dry in Western Canada. Quote, they're far enough away that they haven't been in the same muggy and wet pattern we've been in, unquote, Basil said. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that counting from April, when Democrat Josh Riley announced his second campaign for the 19th Congressional District, he has outraised Republican incumbent Representative Mark Molinaro, according to second quarter Federal Elections Commission figures released on July 17th. From April 1st to the end of June, Riley outraised Molinaro $787,933 to $606,827, or about 30%. Molinaro has been raising money longer, so he has taken in $1,278,612 in his reelection campaign. Riley is refusing donations from corporate political action committees, and nearly 95% of Riley's donations came from individual donors. Molinaro only raised 30% of his money from individual donors. Molinaro raised $217,000 from more than 160 political action committees, including the Airline Pilots Association PAC, Avangrid PAC, a single corporation clean energy fundraising committee, and the American Crystal Sugar Company PAC, which represents the sugar cane and sugar beet industry. If they win their primary elections, Molinaro versus Riley would be a rematch of the 2022 election in the 19th Congressional District, where Molinaro defeated Riley by a two-point margin, 142,354 votes to 136,071 votes. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Jamel Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Dwyer Program opened the new Widow's Food Bank July 13th on Fairview Avenue in Hudson with a ribbon-cutting ceremony. The new food bank is for veterans, widows of service personnel, and families of veterans. Dwyer Program co-chair Holly Crosby said, quote, "This is an emotional event for me. To be able to recognize veterans and to help them in any way that we can is amazing. This pantry is more than the food that we're giving. It's recognition, support, and family," unquote. Co-chair Patsy Leader said, quote, "We had a veteran that came in yesterday who needed food and hasn't been out of her home in 2 months. She can only eat soft foods because she doesn't have any teeth. It's appalling that this is happening to our veterans," unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, July 18th. Local early morning temperatures range from 65 degrees in Stephentown to 72, not too far away in Skodak. Regional average soil temperature is 73 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low. However, air quality is rated at unhealthy for sensitive groups due to smoke infiltration. Flood watches are up for the area as a quote-unquote cold front moves through the area today. According to the National Weather Service, there may be enough energy in the atmosphere for some of the thunderstorms to become strong to severe with hail and strong to locally damaging wind gusts. A marginal risk for severe thunderstorms remains in place per the latest outlook from the Storm Prediction Center. Bringing it back local, the smoke may enhance local fog this morning. Then rain starts around 9 a.m. for some. After 3 p.m., it'll be around for just about everybody. And those stormy conditions show up at our doorstep. We get a high temperature of 84 degrees at 2 p.m. Rain will end by midnight, and we will see a muggy overnight low of 63 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry, partly cloudy, with a high of 82 at 2 p.m. Overnight dips to 62 degrees. It will possibly be muggy, but probably be comfy. Thursday, rain is back, hitting in the afternoon after we max out our mercury at 84 degrees. Friday, more rain, still hot. Weekend is looking very warm, but the dew points may relax enough to make getting outside comfortable. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:02 a.m., low tide at 10:55 a.m., high tide again at 4:39 p.m. and low tide once again at 10:49 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 8:14 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:32 a.m. Looking way up, we see a G1 class magnetic storm watch is up for the next couple days. X-class flare chances are back up to 20% for today. Plasma winds will be average at 517 kilometers per second with an average density of 9 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. There are low chances of aurora tonight. The current sunspot number is 149, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate. And if you listen to this station, you know we like talking about the weather and how it affects you. If you think that's cool, or in this summer's case, hot, head over to WGXE.org. Let us know. And while you're there, maybe smash that donate button and consider being as sustaining as the environment is around us.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
I have a house in the land to the north, one half of it red gold, the lower half of silver. Its porch is of white bronze, and its threshold copper, and of the wings of white yellow birds is its thatch, I think. Its candlesticks are golden, with a candle of great purity, with a gem of precious stone in the middle of the house. But for myself and the High Queen, none of us are sad. None of us are sad. A household there without old age, with yellow crested hair. Without exclusion, the house is not closed. The house is not closed. The house is not closed. Against man.
from the 2023 album Murmurs and Whispers. That was Kopeck's PG6 with I Have a House.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The time has come for Congress to speak with a single voice and to publicly censure George Santos, whose lies have gone unpunished.
New York Democratic Representative Richie Torres has introduced a measure to censure New York Republican George Santos. While Santos is already facing federal charges and a congressional ethics investigation, this resolution would express the House's disapproval without expelling him. In response to the resolution, Santos said, "Democrats on the other side of the aisle have completely lost focus on the work they should be doing. My record proves that my office is hard at work, serving constituents and crafting keen legislation." Meanwhile, Republican presidential candidate Aja Hutchinson says he'd replace current FBI Director Christopher Wray if elected. This comes after Wray was called to testify about the Bureau's work investigating the Biden family, focusing on whether he was protecting them from prosecution. A recent Fox News poll finds confidence in the Bureau declined from 80% in 2017 to 59% this year. Hutchinson described the kind of person he'd like to see in the job.
You've got to have a leadership team that is 100% committed to not the traditional way of doing things necessarily, but the transparency that I've spoken of. So I would want to have new leadership so that we could carry out the reforms that I've talked about.
During the town hall for the political group No Labels, West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin evaded questions about whether he's planning a third-party run for president in the 2024 election. He'll want a split ticket if he does, meaning he'd have a Republican as his running mate. Manchin feels partisanship has clouded the hearts of issues facing Americans, noting moderates and independents will be key to shaking up the status quo.
We're here to make sure that the American people have an option. And the option is, can you move the political parties off their respective sides? They've gone too far right and too far left. That can't be done unless they're threatened. The only way you can threaten is have people out there that says, listen, neither side can't win without the independent.
Finally, Democrats on the House Oversight and Accountability Committee talked with abortion rights advocates about the impacts of GOP-imposed restrictions. Those talks focused on what has happened in the past year since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, like disproportionate impacts of restrictions on black and brown communities, hesitancy around distributing mifepristone, and limiting abortion access. Missouri Democratic Representative Cori Bush is worried about how these restrictions are affecting people in her state.
In Missouri, you are over 25 times more likely, 25 times more likely to die from giving birth than taking abortion pills. So in restricted states like mine, medication abortion quite literally saves lives.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thursday, a New York State appeals court ordered a redrawing of the state's congressional districts. The next day, the U.S. Supreme Court set a date for a South Carolina case which could greenlight more gerrymandering. In 2022, New York's Independent Redistricting Commission couldn't reach an agreement on new maps, and a Democratic legislature gerrymandered maps favoring Democrats. Republicans appealed, and the Democratic maps were thrown out in March 2023, replaced by maps drawn by a county judge, which ended up favoring Republicans in the midterm elections. Democracy Docket reports that a 5-judge panel found the Independent Redistricting Commission had submitted only one of 2 proposals mandated before the lower court judge preempted its work. While the appeals court ruled the independent commission should submit new maps, the decision is expected to be challenged again in New York's highest court before the 2024 election. The U.S. Supreme Court has announced a date of October 11, 2023, for Alexander versus the South Carolina NAACP. This closely watched case has elements of both racial gerrymandering, which the court ruled against in the Milligan decision, and partisan gerrymandering, to which the U.S. Supreme Court has turned a blind eye since 2019. It could provide legal cover for future manipulation of voting district maps. We have more on each of the cases at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Follow us on Facebook at American Democracy Minute.
Me and my arrow, straighter than narrow. Wherever we go, everyone knows it's me and my arrow.
tune in or turn out to the July 18th edition of the Ukuleles Unleashed show on WGXC. This month it is broadcast live from the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Host Carmen Borgia and John Sturman are doing a reading and singing Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles, and then doing their live radio show in front of an audience at the Bridge Street Theater. Admission is free to this WGXC event. Turn out or tune in to the Bridge Street Theater, 7:45 to 10 p.m. on Tuesday, July 18th at wgxc.org/listen and 90.7 FM. Stay tuned to WGXC throughout the day on Tuesday, July 18th for all sorts of creative community radio. 10 a.m. on the Ginger Radio Hour, Justin Maiman speaks with Lucas Volger, a chef and cookbook author of the book Veggie Burgers Every Which Way, which he'll be talking about today. DJ Patty Boom beams in from Greene County at noon after the local news with Vinyl Freedom. Paulus Van Horn hosts a burnout episode of the Noise in the Megacity show at 2 p.m. And there's radio art at 3 from Tyler Maxson, Rodessa Jones, and Idris Akamore. Stay tuned later in the evening. Kimberly Irwin is live at 7 with Race Talks from Hudson. And at 8 p.m. we're live in Catskill at the Bridge Street Theater, where the Ukuleles Unleashed show is live. And you can attend in person at the Bridge Street Theater or listen online or on the radio at 90.7 FM. They're doing a live version of Harry Nilsson's The Point on ukuleles and continuing with the rest of the radio show live at the Bridge Street Theater at 8 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
I think we got Sam on the line.
Hey, okay. Aaron, this is Sam.
Sam Sebring.
I can hear you loud and clear, yes. Great to be here with you.
Sweet. So glad to have you in to talk about this amazing exhibit that's coming. And I butchered the intro right now on exactly what's going on with this amazing artwork of Will Clark. And can you tell us a little bit about when and where and who is Will Clark? And where do you want to start, Sam Sebring?
Yeah, boy. So it's such a fascinating story behind this work. Let me start before I get into that by just saying, unfortunately, my colleague Nick Payne, who runs the gallery space, could not make it on the show today. But big shout out to Nick and his partner Christina Bolt, who, without whom I couldn't have put this show together. I've been trying to make this happen for about 10 years now, and it just kind of fell in my lap all of a sudden, with Nick and Christina being very interested in showing the work. And so let me see how I can start. So Will Clark started painting when he was 85, and he had never touched a paintbrush before that. He proceeded then to paint over 1,000 paintings by the time he died when he was 96. So it was just this incredible outpouring, prolific amount of work that this guy made once he started. It was like no stopping him. And so we refer to him as an outsider artist, because he was just painting these paintings and had no intention of showing them or selling them. He was just making them, just kind of in his own world making them. And a friend of mine, Kate Knapp, who runs the 510 Warren Street Gallery there in Hudson, she was a neighbor of his. His house was in Great Barrington. And she came upon what he was doing and convinced him to show some paintings. And that's when I was working as the manager at 510 Warren Street, and that's how I came upon his work, and I pretty much fell in love with it instantly. It's also, I would say that it's what we might call, he's an artist in a way to me, meaning that other painters and artists have a very strong feeling about his work, more so than the general public, often are a little perplexed by it. But we did sell quite a few of them when I was working at the gallery there. So there was several people who did get it. But let's see. I guess I could talk a little about his trajectory in life. Would that be good at this point, Kieran?
That would be absolutely excellent, Sam Sieben. And I just want to say, we should, what I didn't do is mention that the exhibit has actually already begun. You had an opening reception. Maybe before you get into his life, Sam, you can talk a little bit about the opening reception, which just happened this past Saturday of July 15th. I'm very, very sorry. I was up in Boston and I was not able to make it. But this is happening at Hudson House, correct, on Warren Street?
Yes. Thank you.
And it
we
goes
just had the opening Saturday at Hudson House is at 824 Warren Street. So for
right.
listeners familiar with Warren Street, that's way at the top end, sort of across the street from Wasabi and a little further up, in a beautiful old house that they have converted into a gallery space where they are also doing residency programs. And currently there's a great artist, Vanessa, who is in residence there, and she also had an open studio on Saturday concurrent with the opening. And
right, so this is Vanessa Gully Santiago, Hudson House artist in residence, it sounds like. And I'm looking at a couple of the pieces here, which does not, of course, do it justice when you're looking online, but from Queens, New York City, in concurrence with the Will Clark exhibit. So that sounded like it was an awesome, awesome Saturday kickoff, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really great to have the show running at the same time as Vanessa. I really like her work a lot. It's pretty dark and wryly funny. Commentary on our current world and technology and other things going on. And Vanessa will be having a show in the space after the Will Clark show. And so I'm looking forward to that. And so we had a nice turnout on Saturday despite the heat, and the reaction from people was just amazing, Kieran. It was like they were astounded. They were like thanking me profusely for putting something together that was, they found it so refreshing. I think that's because they're seeing the really pure honesty of the work that comes through. Like, this guy had no filter. He just said exactly what was on his mind through his paintings, and they're very poetic. They often have text on them, and they're sometimes brutally hilarious, but not like a one-liner. Like, they might make you even laugh out loud, but then they're also making you think a lot after that.
Paintings
really have depth, I find, and so it's a really, really fun exhibit because we hung it all salon style, like floor to ceiling, so it's the most amount of this guy's paintings that have ever been shown, and so you're just really kind of walk into this guy's world, and it's just almost an explosive level of sensations coming at you through these paintings.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as you when you were saying the text part and looking at just some of them with, I just find it darkly, I just love this type of humor, but it's also quirky and it's like the pre-meme. It's like the technological meme that we know so well online. It's like the meme robbed the spirit of Will Clark, who's doing the original meme through the expression of the soul through the paintbrush.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's the feeling of paint that you can't capture in an electronic meme ever. So you've got that right. Feeling going on of the paint. And then his choice of subject matter and text and the whole presentation of it is just so raw and honest.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, should I read some of the titles, Karen?
Yeah, I think you should, and I also really want to talk a little bit about this guy's biography, just like this amazing background. He was born in 1916, the year of the Irish Uprising Revolution. We're talking about almost 100 years ago. You had mentioned
yeah.
He was a poet. He had been into poetry. He, you know, New York City-based family based in New York City. He was also a Air Force veteran during World War II.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the trajectory is absolutely amazing. So I think we should definitely go through, talk about, mention some of these titles of the. I mean, people really have to just see them for themselves. They can go to the 800 block of Warren Street and go to, which by the way, I always remember that as this rundown building with this huge columns with stuff all over the place with this eccentric individual who would always be like kind of sweeping the steps and I think like out there and I forget who that was, but like it was this sort of spooky building on Upper Warren across from Wasabi and now it's this amazing, amazing like gallery space. So go see it for yourselves, folks, at Hudson House.
Mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin de balayer les amours avec leur trémolo, balayer pour toujours, je repars à zéro. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien. Le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie, car mes jours.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Soil Fest is a 3-day celebration of soil at White Feather Farm in Saugerties, New York, with performances, workshops, art, science, and much more. I'm now joined by Brooke Singer, the festival organizer, to tell us more. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So Soil Fest is taking place at White Feather Farm. As we mentioned, any farmer knows the importance and magic of soil. For you, why is soil worth celebrating?
Well, that's a great question, and it's not just farmers who need to care about soil. Soil is really at the center of our clean air, clean water, healthy food, obviously. Soil also is really important in the addressing the out-of-whack climate that we are currently in, and there's a lot of potential for reconfiguring our relationship and our way we tend to soil to help sink carbon in the soil and reduce greenhouse gases. And also, lastly, soil holds like a trillion different species of microbes. And scientists have only identified maybe a tenth of that number. So it's a black box. It's this territory that there's just been a huge explosion of discovery in microbiology. And so we don't have to travel to Mars to go to an unknown and intriguing and discover new things, right? We have that world beneath our feet. And it's really exciting. Sometimes I read science articles like they're science fiction because literally what they're discovering about microbes and their inter-species relationship with plants and other organisms is just really kind of mind-blowing and stunning. So for all these reasons, soil, we want to celebrate the soil. We want to bring people in at the farm, farmers and the local community, artists, educators, kids, adults, all ages, to celebrate and learn and get immersed in this world of soil and ecology more generally.
Mm. Participatory workshops and art is such a fun way to learn about these new discoveries, like you were saying, these like other worlds that we often take for granted. What are some of the experiences that will be taking place at Soil Fest?
So one workshop with Claire Pentecost is a workshop where you will learn how to do soil chromatography. Yes, it's kind of an obscure and old, maybe 100-year-old method that a Russian botanist discovered or came up with, where you take a soil sample and you use photographic chemicals and you draw that sample out across filtered paper and makes this gorgeous radial pattern with different hues of the soil, which are stunning and beautiful as art, but also you can read it and it can become a way to assess soil health. Chromatography actually became quite a used tool in biodynamic farming, and it was kind of a DIY and cheap method for farmers to learn more about their soil without sending a sample to a lab or bringing in a scientist. And that relates to a workshop I'll be doing after Claire's soil chromatography workshop, my carbon sponge workshop, which includes a toolkit where we take off-the-shelf tools and we are doing a bunch of readings to assess the microbial biomass in the soil. You can assess the sugar content in a plant leaf, which is basically will tell you about the photosynthetic rate of the plant. And these are all cheap, easy methods that are like soil chromatography that are used today and can really help farmers and gardeners and anyone who's a land steward gauge what the impact of their cultivation is to the soil and what kind of status or health their soil is at that point.
So visitors are not only celebrating, but they're also becoming citizen scientists.
Totally. Citizen scientists and learning these methods. They're also, you know, smelling the soil and learning about the different properties that you can see with your eyes, that you can feel with your hands, the structure of the soil. We have a couple of soil pits at the farm where you can see the strata of the soil, how it developed over hundreds of thousands of years. There are many ways to actually hands-on learn about soil and talk about it and hopefully take some tools back to home or one's own farm.
And I know there are also artists who deal with sound.
Yes.
You mentioned smell.
Yes.
So Lisa Schoenberg will be there.
Exactly. So Lisa Schoenberg and Ali Wist are doing a collaborative workshop that's going to kick off Soil Fest on Friday, July 21st. And they're really interested in using multisensory means to detect mycelium networks underground and the mushrooms that are above ground. And they talk about this work, the sensory kinship of the third kind, as a way to sense like a mushroom or experience of feeling or being would be underground too, right? So that kind of empathetic learning to make these kinship attachments to other organisms. So Lisa is a composer, musician, and she has these contact mics that she demonstrated to me the other day where you put them up against the mushrooms or in the soil and get all kinds of fantastic sounds that we can't hear with our own ears. And she uses these in compositions. And I think her focus is mostly on insects. But with Ali, they've been diving into the world of fungi.
Mm. And Lisa has also been using those mics over here on next to our campus at Lawn Lab, which will be coming up. And Ali has also been a part of here. What other experiences will be taking place at Soil Fest?
So after my carbon sponge workshop, we're going to have an alternative grain beer tasting with Kevin Van Blarkum, who is of Westkill Brewing. And that will be a lot of fun. These are unusual beers that some are in prototype stage. There's one from Brooklyn Brewery that they use a grain called Fonio from East Africa.
Oh, interesting.
And it's very similar to our desire to grow sorghum at the farm. It's a grain that is drought tolerant, has really deep roots. It's nutritious, and they're collaborating with Fonio growers to make this beer. So it's not labeled. I have never tasted it. We're going to pop them on Saturday, July 26th at 5 with Kevin. And we'll also be sampling beers made with sorghum, made with rice, millet, buckwheat, and look at the range of grains that are being used in the malting process, which these grains are really good at feeding us and are very nutritious, but they're also really great at feeding the soil. So there's the connection there to the event, and it should be a lot of fun.
And there will also be some music, right?
There'll be some music. Following that, we have Dust Bowl Fairies. They're called Gothic, Polka, Carnival, Folk, Indie Rock. They have really amazing kind of descriptors for what they do, cabaret inspired. And they're performing in our Broken Wing Barn at 7:30. So that's a full packed day. We also have a performance on Sunday, July 23rd. With Arm of the Sea Puppet Theater, which I know have performed here at Media Sanctuary. They actually performed at our Soil Fest last year as well. They did their puppet show called Dirt. And this year they're doing a new show called Riparian Rhapsody, which is all about the Catskills ecology and emphasizing the character of a stream and the woods, which is quite special because they'll be performing at White Feather Farm right by our creek and the 60-acre wooded area behind. So it's really a perfect setting for that performance.
And before we run out of time, White Feather Farm, can you give us a little bit of information about what that farm is?
Absolutely, yeah. So White Feather Farm is on Route 212 between the town of Saugerties and Woodstock. And it's about 66 acres. And there are about two of those acres in organic, mostly veggie production. There's a farm stand that's open on Saturdays. There's a sugar shack. They produce maple syrup, honeybees, chickens. It's really a lovely small farm. Like I said, there's this creek that runs through it, a wetlands area. There's also this, if it's not too muddy, people can walk back into the 60 plus acres of woods. It's a really great place to come and explore as well as attend some of these workshops and music. And there'll be a food truck.
Wow. So Soil Fest, July 21st to 23rd in Saugerties, New York. It's really an all-sensory experience. And if all of the interactive activities are too much, you can just wander around the farm?
Absolutely, yes. You can take a break. You can go through the woods, bring a picnic. We'll be opened all weekend, Friday through Sunday, and hope to see a lot of people come and celebrate soil with us.
And where can listeners find more information?
More information on the website, which is whitefeatherfarm.org.
Thank you so much for joining us on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Brooke Singer, is there anything that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I guess leave you with the curiosity and the interest now to explore what these soil microbes are doing and what they're all about, and to maybe look at soil a little differently and understand that it's just teeming with life and our lives depend on the health of their lives. So to kind of promote this discovery and feeling more connected to the ground beneath our feet.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Jaded Azarides is Columbia County poet Karen Schomer and legendary bass player Mike Watt from the Minutemen. This is from their 2021 record, Forthright. The song is called An Adult in His Own House is Also a Child.
He runs up the stairs two at a time. His hand skims the banister. His small boots leave dirt. His mother calls from the kitchen, but he doesn't answer. He needs to find something in his room. The one thing that will prove to his friend he isn't a liar. He looks in plastic bins filled with action figures and trading cards, but it isn't there. He looks under the bed where he stuffs unfinished homework and soiled clothes he doesn't want his mother to find. He opens the closet door, and there's so much stuff. Boxes and suitcases rammed into piles. Outgrown coats. Cracked leather shoes. His father's old suits. Funeral clothes draped in tissue paper. That the act of looking becomes a mountain. The house becomes a mountain house, craggy and peaked, damp and smelling of old leaves and metallic water. He is lost here. He needs a path out of this damp, dripping place, threaded with black streams that lead deep underground. Climbs and the way is steep, the earth loose and strung with thick roots. He finds a toehold on a boulder and drags himself onto a ledge. Breathless, he scrambles for a vantage, loses his balance and tips forward on sheer, glistening rocks.
Name, Patty Boom, host of Vinyl Freedom, where? WGXC, when? Every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m., what? Streaming online at WGXC.org, what? Tune in for a genre shakedown, all kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Thank you.
That was Farfisa Gnome Fish Chord from Catskills' Rodney Allen Greenbat from his 2021 album, To Just Be.
Through and through. Oh, little sun-kissed child, we pass our knowledge on to you. Oh, little sun-kissed child, what future wonders you will see. A universal playground with endless possibilities.
beautiful sun-kissed child. We need your wisdom today. Ooh, little sun-kissed child, hope your vision's greater than hay.